Let's start with our scripture reading. May we stand in respect to God's word. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You may be seated. First, I should define the term ethno-religious in my subtitle. Ethno, of course, is from ethnic, signifying that there is a genetic or a racial aspect to the religion that one follows. I made up the term only to find later that it is not a new term. The concept certainly is not new and is demonstrated throughout the history of the world. When we think of Western culture, we think Caucasian and Christian. When we think of the East, we think of the Orientals and Buddhism. When we think of the Middle East, we find quite a racial mix, mostly cousins of Abraham, among Muslims and Jews. So it becomes obvious that there is a connection between race and religion, although there are many racial crossovers into other religions. It is not always simply a matter of belief. It is something deeper. Could genetics be involved? I think so. For just a casual observation of the various nations and societies seems to support this conclusion. The purpose of this list of little-known facts is to draw attention to the public of the very serious national threat from the Antichrist Jews of our day. In fact, all of history, if the truth be known. This list will educate the readers about evils they could never even imagine from the most prominent ethno-religious sect in the world, the Jews. Christian identity likewise is an ethno-religion because our faith and our race are tied together by the covenant God made with Abraham. It is as simple as that. Those called Jews today have no connection as such, but they are an ethno-religious society which they defend vehemently. In our scripture above, you may have noticed that Jesus addressed, quote, "the Jews who had believed in him," end quote. Then in the following verse, you will find Jews objecting to Jesus' words and obviously did not believe in him. Well, this sounds confusing. What's going on? Keep in mind that throughout the New Testament, we find language such as this regarding the Jews. The Jews today do not believe in Jesus, but rather hate him, nor can they believe in him because it is not a part of their ethnicity. So what is the answer? The term Jew is not proper, for it causes us to think of Jews we hear about in our day and time. Instead, the word here should be Judean, a citizen of Judea, just as today we would say American in reference to those living in America, regardless of what race they are. So here, Jesus is in a public conversation with a mixed crowd of Judeans. Some were good, they believed in Jesus. Some were bad, they did not believe in Jesus. Therefore, the good Judeans were true Judahites of the tribe of Judah, of Israel. And the bad Judeans, a portion of the Pharisees, were the mixed-race Edomites, not of Israel. This might also remind us of the parable of good and bad figs of Jeremiah the prophet. And so it is these bad Judeans, the Jews that Jesus faced, who are the same evil ethno-religious sect that we face today in America. This prominent sect is not the same as the true ancient Israel of the Bible. Instead, they are Ashkenazi, Sephardic Edomites, and these are the subjects of the following list of facts. While some Americans are well aware of the Jewish communist threat of globalism, still others are asleep because of the media. This brings us to the first point of the list. Number one, Jews own and control all the media. All the CEOs of every major network are Jews. Jews also hold prominent positions in government and in the Supreme Court. far beyond a fair representation of the population in America. Number two, Jews recite a prayer every year to nullify their vows. The purpose of this is to allow them dishonesty. It is called the Kol Nidra. Quote, all vows, obligations, oaths, and anathemas, whether called onum or onus or by any other name which we may vow or swear or pledge or whereby we may be bound from this day of atonement until the next, whose happy coming we await, we do repent. May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect. They shall not bind us, nor have power over us. The vows shall not be reckoned vows. The obligations shall not be obligatory, nor the oaths be oaths. End quote from the Encyclopedia. So once a year, the Jews in their synagogues repeatedly, and it's three times, recite this prayer that Christians have expressed throughout the ages. That is this one reason the Jews cannot be trusted. To the Christian, this is blasphemy. For not only is there no repentance evidenced, but forthright, blatant disobedience. All the lies and false swearing of the year are come to be annulled in advance. Number three, Jews are very active in ritual murder. And this I got was from reported by Mark Downey, this section especially. What exactly is the ritual and why is it part of the Jewish religion? Joseph Castine, an official historian of Jewry, has stated that Jews believe, quote, blood is the seat of the soul, end quote. In contradistinction to the Christian view that the heart or one's spirit determines our soul or personality, Jews believe that by drinking the blood of a Christian victim who was perfect, they could overcome their physical shortcomings and become as powerful as the intelligent, civilized beings among whom they had formed their own parasitic communities. The parallels can be traced back to the social pathologies of ancient Babylonian Baal worship and of cannibalism. Secret occult societies have also followed the lead of satanic instructions found in the Jewish Kabbalah. The Jews are charged with enticing white Christian children, and at times adults, into the synagogue or into a more secret place for sacrificial slaughter. The victim is tied down, stripped, and pierced with sharp ritual knives in the identical places where the body of Christ was inflicted. As the blood is drained into cups, the Jewish leaders drink the blood, calling down curses upon Christ and on all non-Jewish people. Only by performing this rite do they believe they can continue to survive and prosper within the host nation. The Jews mix this blood into their unleavened bread and use it to practice superstitious magic. The Jews are charged with torturing their victims, bleeding them white, crowning them with thorns, beating and stabbing them in a complete reenactment of the crucifixion. All Jews, unless they are mentally retarded, are aware of the blood ritual and its importance to Jewish culture. However, only the most influential leaders, rabbis, and rich Jews are allowed to participate in the ceremony. Ordinary Jews are forbidden because the criminal practice is fraught with security risks for the entire Jewish community. Probably the best literary exposé of Jewish ritual murder is by British author Arnold Leese in his book by the same name, The Case of Simon of Trent. And I'm quoting, in 1475, a three-year-old boy named Simon disappeared in the Italian town of Trent. The circumstances were such that suspicion fell upon the Jews. Hoping to avert this suspicion, they themselves found the child's body in a conduit where they afterwards confessed to having thrown it. Examination of the body, however, revealed that the boy had not been drowned. There were strange wounds on the body of circumcision and crucifixion. About seven Jews were arrested. They were tortured and confessed that the boy had been ritually murdered for the purpose of obtaining Christian blood to mix with the ceremonial unleavened bread. These confessions were made separately and agreed in all essential details. The Jews were tried and were ultimately executed. The officer in charge of the investigation of the crime, Jean de Salis de Brescia, had before him a converted Jew, Jean de Feltro, who described how his father told him that Jews of his town, Landshut, had killed a child at Passover to get the blood of which they partook in wine and cakes, end quote. No one has ever dared to try and deny the historical events of this case. Only the Jews invent reasons why it was not ritual murder. But there is no escape from the opposite conclusion. Dr. Errol Teuf, a professor at the Jewish University near Tel Aviv, has written a monumental three-volume work on Jewish life during the medieval age. Reporting on this event, another Jewish writer, Israel Shamir, explains the conflict between Dr. Teuf and other Zionist henchmen. Shamir says, quote, while studying in his subject, he, that's Teuf, discovered that the medieval Ashkenazi Jewish communities of North Italy practiced a particularly horrible form of human sacrifice. Their wizards and adepts stole and crucified Christian babies, obtained their blood, and used it for magical rituals evoking the spirit of vengeance against the hated Goyim, end quote. In the United States, perhaps the most famous victim of Jewish ritual murder was the son of Charles Lindbergh on March 1, 1932, during the time of the Jewish annual Feast of Purim. Lindbergh's father, a U.S. congressman, had published a scathing indictment against the Warburg Jewish bankers' passage of the Federal Reserve Act, in which federal agents confiscated and burned. After Charles became a national hero from his solo flight across the Atlantic and following in his father's footsteps to warn the American public about the evil ambitions of Jewry to start World War II against Germany, his little boy was slain as a warning to back off. Eustace Mellons, in his book, New History of the Jews, said, quote, in the U.S., Jews have been able to practice ritual murder of Gentile children with impunity because they control the press and because they hold so many high public offices. It has been estimated by a leading police official that 4,000 children disappear in the U.S. each year. There is no question that the majority of them are victims of Jewish ritual murder. So prevalent has the custom become in this country that Jews are able to ship large quantities of the children's blood to Israel for use in their ceremonies there. One of the problems of the Jewish homeland in Israel has been a shortage of Christian children who could be used in the ritual ceremony. And the U.S., which has also furnished most of the money to Israel, has also provided much of the required children's blood, end quote. Number four, Jews have been expelled from every country in Europe. At one time or another, entire Jewish populations have been purged. Just a thumbnail chronology of history, France was one of the first European nations which forced the deportations of Jews in 1182 AD, England in 1290, France again in 1306 and 1322, Hungary in 1360, Belgium 1370, Austria in 1420, Bavaria in 1442, Netherlands in 1444, Poland in 1483, Spain in 1492, Italy in 1492, Lithuania in 1495, Portugal in 1496, Prussia in 1510, Italy in 1540, Prague in 1541 and 1557, the Papal States in 1569, Hamburg in 1649, Vienna in 1669, Slovakia in 1744, Moscow in 1891. This is just the short list to impress upon you the gravity of rejection against Jews. The Great Repulsion has put Jews under worldwide suspicion, and for good reason. Number 5, Jews are the chief enemy of Christians. The American public has been inundated with Jewish propaganda touting the brotherhood of Jews and Christians. However, the following passages from Jewish sources betray any such association. Quote, the Jews are human beings, but the nations of the world are not human beings, but beasts. Quote from a Jewish reference, and I'm not going to try to pronounce all these names here. I'll just skip them. It is permitted to kill a Jewish denunciator everywhere. It is permitted to kill him before he denounces. An Orthodox Jew is not bound to observe principles of morality towards people of other tribes. He may act contrary to morality, if profitable to himself or to Jews in general. To communicate anything to a goy about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews, for if the goyim knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. It is the law to kill anyone who denies the Torah. The Christians belong to the denying ones of the Torah. End quote. Christian birth rate must be diminished maternally. Quote. Another quote, Jews are not to prevent the death of a Christian. End quote. Do not save Christians in danger of death. Jews are instructed to let them die. End quote. Even the best of the goyim, that's the Christian, should be killed. End quote. If a Jew kills a Christian, he commits no sin. That quote. Extermination of Christians necessary. End quote. A Jew innocent of murder if intent was to kill a Christian. End quote. Christians who are not Jews' enemies must also die. End quote. Can we begin to see why some white Christians used to talk about the Jewish question? The question was and is, what do we do about the construct of Jewish genocide against our race? Whenever the criminality of the Talmud was revealed, it was ordered, burned, or censored. It was burned in nearly every country from the 11th to the 18th in Italy. France, Germany, and Spain, and many other countries. The great leader of the Reformation, Martin Luther, after reading it, condemned it as anti-Christian. He also advocated many restrictions against Jews. Number 6, Jews plot wars to kill Christians. The official start of World War II, according to the establishment, is September 1, 1939. But the truth is it started much earlier, March 24, 1933, at the behest of the Jews. Here is what happened. On March 12, 1933, 11 days before passage of the Enabling Act, which gave all power to Hitler, and well before any action of any kind had been taken against Jews, the American Jewish Congress announced a massive anti-Nazi protest to take place on March 27th at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The Commander-in-Chief of Jewish War Veterans called for an American boycott of German goods. On March 23, a protest rally of 20,000 Jews was staged in front of New York City's Hall. Rallies were also staged outside the North German Lloyd and Hamburg American shipping lines in New York, and boycotts were organized against German goods in businesses throughout New York City. Up to this point, not a finger had been lifted against the Jews in Germany. Not a single measure had been taken against them. All of the hysterical anti-German activity by the Jews was only in anticipation of what the Nazis might do. On March 24, 1933, one day after Hitler became Chancellor, the Daily Express of London carried the headline proclaiming that Judea declares war on Germany. Jews of all the world unite in action, boycott of German goods, mass demonstrations, end quote, of that headline. Of course, Germany felt betrayed after showing hospitality to the Jews for so many years. Quote, the Israeli people around the world declare economic and financial war against Germany. 14 million Jews stand together as one man to declare war against Germany. The Jewish wholesaler will forsake his firm, the banker his stock exchange, the merchant his commerce, and the pauper his pitiful shed in order to join together in a holy war against Hitler's people. This was, end quote, from the Daily Express of March 24, 1933. Another quote, each of you, Jew and Gentile alike, who has not already enlisted in this sacred war, should do so now and here. It is not sufficient that you should buy no goods made in Germany. You must refuse to deal with any merchant or shopkeeper who sells any German-made goods or who patronizes German ships or shipping. We will undermine the Hitler regime and bring the German people to their senses by destroying their export trade on which their very existence depends. End quote from Samuel Untermeyer in a radio broadcast on WABC New York, 1933, and also reported in the New York Times, August 7, 1933. Germany was financially attacked, unprovoked, and unfairly by the communist Jews of the West. Starting with this boycott, and their comrades of Bolshevism stood at the back door to the East with a military threat. Hitler's intent was to protect Germany and their European brethren from Soviet assimilation. Hitler was 100% correct in removing the Jews and others from power. After his reforms, the economy revived, and Germany became the economic wonder of the world. While the entire world suffered under the 1929 stock market crash in the U.S., Germany prospered as if it had never happened. The number of 6 million was out before World War II began. This figure has been fed to the public even before any Jews were imprisoned. How did the Jews know that Hitler was going to kill, allegedly, that many? Where did this number come from? This number has been used to grant Jews perpetual sympathy even after 70 plus years. Notice this timeline, 1902. On page 482 of the article on antisemitism in the 10th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, for example, is found the words, quote, while there are in Russia and Romania 6 millions of Jews who are being systematically degraded, end quote. This reference precedes references to the 6 million of World War II by approximately 40 years. 1906. In the New York Times, March 25, 1906 edition, an article titled Dr. Nathan's View of Russian Massacre, worried about the condition and future of Russia's 6 million Jews. The article goes on to say, quote, the Russian government's studied policy for the solution of the Jewish question is systematically and murderous extermination, end quote. 1911. Max Nordahl, a co-founder of the World Zionist Organization, warns of the annihilation of 6 million at the Zionist Conference in Basel, Switzerland. This was 22 years before Hitler came to power. 1919. In the American Hebrew Magazine of October 31, 1919, there appeared an article entitled The Crucifixion of Jews Must Stop by Martin H. Glynn, former governor of the state of New York. This article begins, quote, from across the sea, 6 million men and women call to us for help, end quote. The article goes on to include passages such as, when 6 million human beings are being whirled toward the grave, 6 million men and women are dying, a bigoted lust for Jewish blood, in this threatened Holocaust, and ad infinitum, it just goes on. The article was published approximately 20 years before the outbreak of World War II, 1921. In the Chicago Tribune, July 2021, an article headlined, quote, "Begs America Save 6 Million in Russia," end quote. The article claims, quote, "Russia's 6 million Jews are facing extermination," end quote. 1936. In the New York Times, May 31, 1936, an article headlined, "Americans Appeal for Jewish Refuge," appealed to Britain to throw open the gates of Palestine and let in the victimized and persecuted Jews escaping from the European Holocaust, end quote. The list could go on. Obviously, Jewish claims of persecution, abuse, and predictions of extermination cannot be taken seriously. So much for the origin and history behind the 6 million figure. In contrast, quote, "It is estimated that more than 8 million Germans died during the war, but an astonishing 13 million additional Germans died after the war was over, the result of expulsions, mass murder, brutality, exposure, and starvation, and 11 million were attributed to General Eisenhower. That would be a total of more than 20 million German deaths as a result of the war. The estimated deaths during the war for the United States and Great Britain were 413,000 and 450,000, respectively. The claim that 6 million Jews died at the hands of the Nazis is patently absurd. Germany was clearly the real victim of the war," end quote, from Bradbury and The Myth of German Villainy, page 274. Although Hitler lost the war because the Zionists were able to make backdoor deals to get the U.S. into the world wars, via the City of London, of course, he was the greatest hero in the 20th century. Were it not for him, the USSR that the Russians suffered under would have engulfed all of Europe. Is it any wonder that many have referred to Hitler as the Great One? To further prove that the Jews and their allies had been the aggressors in the world wars, note the following quote. "Thanks for the terrible power of our international banks, we have forced the Christians into wars without number. Wars have a special value for the Jew, since Christians massacre each other and make more room for us Jews. Wars are the Jews' harvest. The Jew banks grow fat on Christian wars. Over 1 million Christians have been swept off the face of the earth by wars, and the end is not yet," end quote, from Rabbi Reichhorn, speaking at the funeral of Grand Rabbi Simeon ben Judah, 1869. Certainly such comments prove the parasitic and aggressive nature of the Jews. These statements also prove their attitude of supremacy and plotting the races against each other to their advantage. Considering what is going on in the world, racism, defined as self-preservation, is the only way for the white man or any other race to survive. Number 7, Jews control the world's economic systems. Now keep in mind what we noticed about World War II under point 6. Hitler avoided the Jewish banks and Germany prospered. America has been under the Federal Reserve System for well over a century, and how many trillions of dollars are we in debt? How is that working for you, Mr. and Mrs. America? Are you concerned about what your children and grandchildren will face? Speaking of economics, we are now on the verge of a nuclear war, World War III. There are many who cry, "Support Israel." However, in the Bible, Israel is not a people, not a political, geographic nation in the Middle East. Furthermore, it can be easily proven that the majority of those Jews living in the Israeli state are not the people they claim to be, as the book of Revelation reveals. Their nation is falsely named Israel for political reasons and deceptive purposes. Does America want to risk a nuclear disaster on the basis of a military support for a nation that already gets more foreign aid including money, than all the other nations in the world combined. And I heard we just sent a little over another 100 million yesterday or whenever. Whoever did that, Biden, I don't know if it passed through the Republicans or not. My conclusion, the list could go on and on into other categories. They are immense. There is probably no area of life that Jews haven't got a hand in perverting. Remember, this is only a short list of recent history. The story of previous centuries of Jews colonizing the New World and America are vast. We should be glad that God Almighty has an eye on this dreadful situation. Here is what he says about Jews in Malachi. If Edom, that's Jewry, says, "We are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins," the Lord of hosts says, "They may rebuild, but I will tear down, till they are called the wicked country, the people with whom the Lord is angry forever." Malachi 1:4. I have a question for the Judeo-Christian world. If God is angry forever with the Jews, how can they be the chosen people? Furthermore, how can they be of God when they hate Jesus Christ, say he was an illegitimate child of a Roman soldier, and that he is in hell today boiling in a pot of human excrement? History proves that Jews always subvert Christian values and God's laws, thus bringing catastrophe upon any nation by the judgment of Almighty God. With Jews, America will lose. I also have a question for all Americans. Everyone loves to tout the word freedom here in America, but how can a country be free if it does not follow the laws of God? History proves it is an impossibility. Only and if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8:36.